Good morning. Good morning. I'm excited to be here. It's a big privilege to do some pulpit filling. If you don't know me, my name is Daniel Harris. Some of you may remember me from about maybe a year and a half ago. Yeah, when I had the privilege to cover for Pastor Snyder when he was having some health issues. And give you a little bit background about myself. I'm a local guy. I grew up in St. Mary's County, Lexington Park, and attended King's Christian Academy, which I know you guys are kind of affiliated with that school. I graduated from there in 2010. I attend Faith Bible Church, right, just a couple miles down the road, and I serve at the mission on Great Mills Road. They have a really exciting work that God is doing amongst them and amongst some of the downtrodden and hurting people of our community. I'm married. My wife, Montana, is right there, and I have two sons. Last time I was here, I just had one son, and she was pregnant with my second, but I have Hudson and Brooks. They're ages 3 and 1, and Montana is expecting in May, but we're not finding out the gender, because who does that? Who finds out the gender? We like to be excited, and my gut tells me that it's going to be another boy, because three boys. Why not, right? And I work at PAX as a contractor, and God has really confirmed that is what I'm supposed to be doing at this point in my life. But I always look forward to opportunities where I can do this, where I can teach the Word of God, proclaim the truth of God, and encourage people and believers to walk in what God has called us to walk in. God's given me a passion for truth and for His Word. And it's my great desire that people can hear that truth and then find the freedom in Christ that is there to be found. And like I said, I preach at the mission once a month, help there. God's doing a good work there, and God's doing a good work here, isn't He? I believe next week is Pastor Snyder's final message, and just an incredible legacy of that man's service, years of faithful ministry, and just great fruit that he has, that God has grown through him and his ministry. And it's also very exciting to open a new chapter with this church. I hear you guys have a master's seminary grad coming, which is incredible, and I'm just so excited to hear continued report of what God is doing through you and through the future of this church. So with all that, I also want to say that as dark as our times appear, and as harrowing sometimes the news and what we read, God is still at work. Amen. God is still doing a good work, and the fields remain white for harvest, as Jesus said. So we have to keep praying that God raises up people to proclaim the truth, and I believe that still we can witness a great work in our own day. So with that, I would like us to jump into the text that we're going to be looking at this morning. So please turn in your Bibles to Matthew 11, 28 to 30. I was telling Joey that it's kind of easy you being the guy that just comes in and does a sermon, because you can pick some of your favorite verses, right? You're not stuck going through some tough stuff. You can just go to your favorite passages, and this one is truly one of my favorites. A very tender word from Jesus this morning. So Matthew 11, 28 and 30. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Let's pray before we get started. Father God, I thank you for these tender words of Christ. And I just pray that you be with us this morning, that your Spirit is present in our midst. And God, as I try to proclaim these truths and teach this word, that God, I would be faithful to your word, that I would speak with clarity and boldness, God, and that your Spirit would convict us, your Spirit would draw us to find our rest in you, and that if someone has never found this peace, found eternal rest in Jesus, God, that today would be the day of their salvation. God, I pray. I pray that you be at work in our midst, and we so look forward to seeing the work that you do today. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. There are some words of Jesus that are recorded for us in the Gospels that are very challenging to hear and read, aren't there? I think of Matthew 16, verses 24 and 25. Jesus says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." So the requirement that Jesus gives for someone to be his disciple must be that he comes to him, picks up the cross, this gruesome instrument of death on his back, gives up his life, essentially comes and dies, and that's the requirement to be a disciple of Christ. If you want to save your life, you will lose it, but if you lose your life for Christ, you will find it. So a challenging word, isn't it? Another challenging word of Jesus I think of is Matthew 7, verses 22 and 23. Some of the most difficult words, I think, in Scripture, and let's hear it. He says, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" So essentially, there will be people who have served Christ, people who have done incredible things in his name. There's been fruit, and yet they never knew him. And because they didn't know him, despite all the good that resulted from their service, despite all of that, they will not enter that eternal fellowship with God. And those are hard sayings. Those are chilling sayings of Jesus. And there's a lot more where they come from, aren't there? But today's passage, we're going to look at a very gentle word of Jesus, a word of comfort and a word of rest for weary souls. And maybe if I get another opportunity to come here, we can do one of those hard sayings. But for now, we're doing this very gentle word in Matthew 11. And we're going to ask these questions. So, what kind of master is Jesus? What does he promise to give those who come to him? Is the burden that he offers, the call that he gives, is it really worth carrying? Is it really worth following? These are some of the most important questions we can ask. And this morning, we have to consider them. In this short text of Matthew 11, 28 to 30 follows some hard words of Jesus, actually. So Jesus just condemned a couple towns. In verse 21, he pronounces woe to Bethsaida and Chorazin in verse 21, just a couple of verses earlier, because despite the brilliant light that they received, they literally had the eternal Son of God walking through their towns, proclaiming the gospel, doing miracles, signs, and wonders. They literally had Jesus himself walking through their towns, and they still rejected him. And Jesus pronounces woe to them. And it's very sobering that a couple of verses later, Jesus says to Capernaum, a Jewish town whom surely he loves, he says, "It will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you." Nevertheless, Jesus turns, after speaking these very harsh words, to thank God. In verse 25, he says, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for that is what you were pleased to do." It pleases God to reveal these great mysteries of the gospel to not the wise, not the elite, not the people who are most, who you would expect would receive it, but he reveals them to little children. And then he goes on to say, "All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." And then we get to our passage this morning after that background. Verse 28 begins with an open call. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Some other translations, they say, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. But it's the same idea, isn't it? And the only qualification to his call is what? What's the one requirement you have to come to him? You have to be what? Weary and burdened. Laboring and heavy laden. You have to have this burden to come to him. But other than that, he doesn't cap the burden and say, well, if you're too burdened, you can't come. Or if you've done too much laboring, I won't accept you. It's open-ended. All. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. But you must be weary and burdened in order to come. And this is tied to the reason why Jesus came in the first place. This is why he came to earth. He came not to call the righteous, he says, but sinners to repentance. The healthy don't need a doctor. They don't need a physician. But it's the sick that Jesus came for. He came to reveal these things to little children. And in Luke 4, when Jesus reads in the synagogue this prophecy of Isaiah, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. I want you to consider these words. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then he says, this passage has been fulfilled in your hearing. And then people get mad because Jesus is saying that he is this one that God has anointed. But Jesus came with good news for the poor and for the prisoners and for the oppressed and for the weary and the burdened. This is who he has come for. In Jesus' day, people were burdened. People were burdened under the law. They had obligation as the people of God to obey the law of Moses that God had delivered. And they had the moral requirements, which is often summarized in the Ten Commandments. We're familiar with those. But they didn't just have the moral commands. They also had these civil commands. This is how you're supposed to live as a nation. And then they had ceremonial commands on top of that. And you have all these feasts and celebrations and sacrifices. And the list is very long. The law of Moses was a hard master. And the history of Israel shows that instead of being able to keep it and walk according to the law, instead, what happened? Time and time again, they break the commands of God. They don't walk according to his statutes. We see that again and again. And as if the law wasn't hard enough, the people in Jesus' day were burdened by even more commands and even additional requirements. We talk about the Pharisees, right? And how they would add additional rules, additional codes, even beyond that already heavy burden of the law of Moses. And this weight of law, I just picture, it's just so crushing, so choking. And Paul calls the law in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 7, he calls it the ministry of death. It doesn't offer any life or any promise in its rules, just makes more demands. And more demands. And the result is what you would expect, right? The result is what Jesus is speaking to, weariness. And today, humanity remains under law, under a burden. And we're not under the law of Moses, but by virtue of us being made in God's image, by virtue of us being Adam's children, we are created for God. We are created to keep the law. We are created to obey the commands of God. And Jesus says on the Sermon on the Mount, if you remember, he says, for I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, even beyond the most religious elite, the most righteous people in the day, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. And I believe that is true for all people of all time. Okay, Romans 2 says the Gentiles have a law written on their hearts. So the Jews had the law, But the Gentiles also transgress the law as written on their hearts, and they will be judged by that law. There's no room for stumbling for us. There's no forgiveness. There's no reconciliation under this covenant, this law. James 2:10 says, "For whoever keeps the whole law, you keep all of it and yet stumble in one point, and what? You're guilty of all of it, the whole thing." Perfection is demanded, and we can't live up to such a high bar. The Bible says, "In Adam, all die. Sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all people because all sinned." We are slaves to sin. We are burdened by its weight today. We are unable to alleviate ourselves, to find relief from this burden. And this is our natural position. This is our natural position as children of Adam. We are naturally, by nature, children of wrath. And our sins are proof of this, right? We sin, and it's not just that we're bent to sin, but we willfully disobey, and we're willfully going against the decrees and commands of God. And we await for our sins the just penalty of them. The penalty is death. The wages of sin is death. Separation from God, and ultimately eternal separation from God in hell, apart from him. So there is no escape from this law. There's no relief in the commands. There's no performance we can do a little bit better and then somehow receive a lighter sentence. No. This burden drags humanity to the depths of the pit. And this is the bad news. This is the burden that Jesus is speaking to in this text this morning. But there is bad news, but there is good news, which we know. And the good news is for those people in Jesus' day who had the burden of the Mosaic Law and all the additional requirements, and for all of us today who are under sin, and we feel that choking weight and burden of the law, Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. It's an incredible word. Come to me, he says. It's in him that we experience rest. And not just rest immediately, but eternal rest. Eternal rest, eternal peace with God. We no longer have to fear the law and fear its threatenings. We no longer need to fear the punishment that is the natural result of our sins. There's no more striving under that relentless burden, but Jesus offers relief. He offers forgiveness. Where before we were dressed in our filthy rags of righteousness, what does he do? He gives us his robes, his white robes that we can wear in him. Eternal rest is offered, eternal life with God. And where we were once separated from him, now we are brought near. It's an amazing thing. If only we come to him, if only we see our burden, right? It's one requirement, if we see our burden and come to him. He says, take my yoke upon you. I think this is such an interesting a phrase that Jesus says. And a yoke is a basically a piece of equipment. He's talking to farmers, right? He's using analogies that they would understand in people in an agrarian culture. And we don't necessarily see yokes all the time. Maybe we're in Chaptico, so maybe some people do. But so he's using a term that they understand. But it's a harness that they would put around an oxen on the back of their neck. And basically, they would hook it up to a cart or a wagon, and you would pull a load, right? It makes the animal useful. So it's interesting to me that Jesus doesn't just remove the burden and say, you'll find rest and you're free. You're free to live however you please. You're free to do whatever your heart desires. He doesn't say that. But he says, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. Essentially, we're trading yokes. We're trading burdens. It's an exchange going on. We take off this heavy burden of law and sin, and we take on the burden of Christ. And it's very popular today for people to say that following Jesus is pure liberty. It's pure freedom. I can live, if I'm saved, really under no obligation. I can do what I want. I can do whatever I want, live however I want to live. I'm under grace. And often people will take that to just be a license to continue living in their sin. But that is not what Jesus offers in this text. He tells us what? To take his yoke upon our necks. He tells us to submit to his lordship entirely and to devote ourselves to his service, to become his servant, essentially, to become a slave to him. There's no getting around the fact of a burden. Everyone is in the service of some master. Everyone is carrying some burden this morning. The question is, whose burden are you going to carry? Are you going to carry the world's burden? Or are you going to carry the burden of Christ? Which master will you serve this morning? Romans 6, 16 to 18, Paul writes, "Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness." So this morning, we're all slaves in the service of some master. There's no getting around that fact. We either serve the world and we carry the burden of the world, the burden of sin that I talked about, or we serve Christ and we carry his burden. But in Paul's language, we're either slaves to sin or we're slaves to righteousness. There are many masters in the world that people live subject to. People serve all kinds of things. I think there are some masters that seem to be more respectable in our culture, and those would be career, serving family, sports teams, serving a political movement or a political party, serving a country. And then there's some that are more overtly harmful, and we talk about addictions, we talk about pornography, we talk about this, the epidemic of drugs and alcoholism. But all these masters, they make promises. All look to provide rest. They all look to provide some kind of happiness or fulfillment or meaning. But even the good things that we chase, they weren't meant to give this ultimate thing that we seek in them. They were not intended to satisfy so great a purpose. They cannot provide fulfillment to this restlessness that the human condition has. And where they make promises, in the end, they are powerless. They're powerless to pay back what they promise. I see this very much at the mission. It's a little bit more in your face, a lot of the struggles that people have. And they understand how hard a master the world is. They understand what alcoholism, what drug addiction can do to a person. And they understand the brokenness, that burden that they feel as a result of living and falling into these things. It leaves you broken, empty. Think of the prodigal son. That's the result of these masters. But everyone's serving a master. I think some people may protest. We live in a very modern age, a very advanced age, and people will say, "Well, Daniel, I don't serve anyone. I'm free. I do whatever I want to do. I live according to my own drum, right? I don't take rules from anyone." But make no mistake, you also are bound to a master. You are bound also to the tyranny of your own desires. Our world is quickly finding out that self, following your own self, is a very hard master. Now, I think we pride ourselves in the progress our modern world has made, and there are some very good things that have come as a result of the things we enjoy and the liberties that we possess. We throw off all the shackles of oppression and hierarchy. There's a lot of freedom that we can be who we want to be and pursue the life that we want to pursue. But despite all of this and all of this freedoms that we are given, increasingly, people are depressed, anxious, unhappy. You know, I was looking at online some statistics for anxiety, for mental health stuff, and it was really discouraging to see how much this is getting worse. And even before the pandemic had hit. But there's one statistic I thought I'd share from the National Alliance of Mental Illness. It said, since 1999, the overall suicide rate in the United States has increased 35%. And I'm sure there's a lot of factors that go into that number, and I think the pandemic does play to that. But surely, this philosophy of do whatever makes you happy, don't follow anyone but yourself, surely that contributes. And people are finding out there are few masters that are as hard as the master of self and living a slave to your own desires. There's no getting away from serving a master. We either live in service to the world and we carry its burden, or we have offered to us in this text an alternative. And it says, take my yoke upon you to learn from Christ, for he is gentle and humble of heart. What kind of burden, what kind of yoke is it that Jesus offers those who come to him? Is it like the world's burden? Is it a crushing load? No, it is an easy burden. It's a light yoke, for our master Jesus is gentle and humble of heart. Now, there's an Old Testament passage that I wanted to be read this morning. It's Isaiah 42, and it talks about the character of the coming servant, Jesus, prophesying about Jesus. And it says, what is disposition? What is he like? What's his manner? And it says this. He says, he will not shout out or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. So a reed is very flimsy and delicate. Smoldering wick, just barely on fire, and he won't snuff it out. There's this gentleness to Christ. And if anyone was in the position to make demands, it was Jesus, the eternal Son. If ever there was a person who was right to exact judgment and exact every ounce of justice from the law, it was him. And yet, Jesus came, as we've already talked about, he came for the weary and he came for those heavy burdened. And his character is suited to their needs. He comes prepared to deal with broken and hurting people. He's humble. He doesn't come as this warrior king demanding what he needs and what is rightfully his, but he comes as a child, right? He comes in meekness and gentleness, humble and lowly. He doesn't shout out or cry out, but he deals gently with those who have sinned against God and those who were the very enemies of God, us who rebel against him. He comes that we might find rest for our souls. And it's just incredible, the heart and love of Jesus, the gentleness in his character. He offers us a light burden, an easy yoke. I mentioned in the beginning of this message that there are some very hard sayings of Christ. And he does make some heavy demands on those who would follow him. To follow him, we have to live in service of him, right? He says we're no longer our own. We are bought with a price. We are now his possession. We have to live according to what his word tells us to do. We have to deny ourselves. Talk about picking up our cross and following him. We have to fight against our flesh and our desires. This body of sin that Paul talks about, it's a war, and it's a struggle. And we have to be willing to face the cost of following Christ too, which George, we were talking about earlier, how many people around the world do face terrible persecution, and we have to be willing to submit to that should that come to us and confront us. This sounds like a pretty difficult burden to me, doesn't it? There are some high demands that Christ makes, but his burden is light. For even in the most stringent demands, even should we give up our very lives, his load is easy, for he's with us. Jesus is with us. He says he will never leave us nor forsake us. He gives us his spirit to help us and to enable us to obey. No matter what we may face in this life, he will uphold those who are his, and he will give us the help we need. He says, learn from me. And I think where things are hard for us at first, when we follow Jesus, he's a kind teacher that helps us and shows us. how to walk, shows us the way we're to go. There's no comparison with Jesus, between Jesus and all the other masters of the world. There's nothing that can make it look like it's a close call, which one to serve. When we stumble and fall, what does Jesus do? He picks us up. When we sin, he gives us grace, and his blood, it covers our stains. We're not under the harsh law of works anymore. We're not under this obligation to do this and live. Now, we live in Christ, and then we're free to do and free to serve. And in his service, under his yoke, we find rest. It's under his yoke we find rest for our weary souls. We find rest right now, but also we find that eternal rest. And there is security in his rest. We no longer need to fear being cast out of the presence of God. We no longer need to fear his judgment and his wrath against all sin. If Christ has paid our sin, there's no more payment required. There's no additional payment. I was thinking about 1 John 1:9, and it says, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins. He is just to forgive our sins because the payment has already been made. And he's not going to ask for another payment if it's in Christ. We can be secure in the finished work of Christ. We can be secure and be safe in what he's done. You know, I'm a father, talked about that. And it would be a terrible thing for me to hear my son, Hudson, for me to hear him fear his position in my family. When my son is disobedient, sometimes he gets spanked. It's just the way it is. So maybe not enough times, but there are moments when a definite line has been crossed, and it is my responsibility as a father, and with this boy that God has entrusted in my care, it's my responsibility to resort to the nuclear option, right? The spanking. That's not easy for any loving dad to do that. I don't take pleasure in spanking my son, but I love him, and I want him to learn that he doesn't get to disrespect mommy or daddy, or he doesn't get to flat out abuse his little brother without consequences. But I always remind him after I spank him, and he's crying a little bit, I tell him, buddy, you're my son, and I love you. You're my son. And he gets it. He understands. Yeah, I get it, Dad. He's three, so. But he does understand that. And I'm trying to communicate that nothing has changed between us, between my position as father and his position as son. We are good. The love is still there. Nothing can affect that. Even his disobedience doesn't have any effect on his status in the family. His position as son is secure, and nothing can happen in this life. There's nothing that he can do that will change that he is my son. He can't undo that. It's a fact. And when we come to Jesus, and when we believe in him, and we take on his yoke, the Bible says we are adopted in the family of God. The Bible says, see what love the Father has lavished upon us, that we can be called the children of God, for that is what we are. Through Jesus, we are admitted in this heavenly family where we can rest secure in our position. And though we may at times experience the discipline of our Father, but it's always in love, though we do experience that, there's never a loss in our position with God and our Father. Sometimes our sin disrupts that intimacy that we can enjoy with God, and it disrupts that closeness. But nothing can change that position. That position of sonship is there. And we can rest secure in that work that Jesus has accomplished for us. How desperately do we need rest today? This is a restless world. And I just look at out, and there's so many burdens, so many fears, so many worries, so many things that occupy our mind. And only one master can give rest from sin, rest from these burdens. And that master is Jesus. And that rest can be ours if we go to him. So he says, come to me, and I will give you rest. Every thing about the word of God is, it's true. And the promises in the word are true. And the Bible says every word of God will prove sure. It can be counted on. One Puritan said, the words of God are deeds. Essentially, if God has said it, write it down because it's going to happen. It's like it's happening. And it's a promise. And Jesus says, what does he say? He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. It's a promise. There's no one who comes to him and says, I'm coming to you, Jesus. I'm submitting to you. And he says, no. No, he says, come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. No one who comes to him, he will cast out, what John 6 says. This is a promise. As it is a promise from God, it can be counted on. We can rest in this. This is for us. So I'd like to wrap up this morning and have some thoughts. What I do at the mission. So I realize a lot of people are in different places. So when we try to apply the word of God, we have to consider, where am I at this morning? Are you burdened this morning? Do you feel the weight of the hard masters you live in the service of? Have you seen the promises that the world has offered you? And have you pursued them and found them to be empty and wanting? The call of Christ in this passage is for you today. You can go to him and find rest for your soul. Are you burdened by the weight of your failures and your inability to do everything right? Does sin continue to crop up in your life? Maybe there's this anxiety about the world that just is so burdensome. Do you wonder if you are good enough to come to Jesus even now? Do you wonder if maybe you're too far gone? Jesus' call is open. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Go to him and find rest for your soul. Any Christians this morning tired and weary? Tired in the service of God, tired of following him and bearing his yoke? Recall these words. Recall these words of our Savior. Remember that it is a light yoke. And go to him. Find that rest that can only be found in this kind and gentle master. I wanted to share this quote from St. Augustine. I ran into online. It kind of hit me when I was reading it. And St. Augustine obviously says the famous quote, which does apply to this, but in his Confessions he says, you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. It's that restlessness that can only be satisfied in Christ. But this other quote I ran across was along the same lines, and it says this. He says, I have read in Plato and Cicero, it's a Greek and a Roman kind of philosopher type guys, I've read in Plato and Cicero sayings that are very wise and very beautiful, but I never read in either of them, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And Christ offers us something this morning that no one else can offer us. He offers us true rest. He offers us true life. He offers us eternal life. And this is for you this morning. Go to him. Exchange yokes. Take that load of the world off you and take on the load of Christ and find this rest that your soul so desperately longs for. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for the lavish love, the lavish grace of you, our Master. God, I pray that we would submit to you. And God, that we would find that you are not a hard master. We would find the joy that is in your service. You say that in your word, that your commandments are not burdensome. They're not, God. And I pray that we would find the joy in your service, and we would be found faithful through the rest of our lives, God, in your service. I pray if anyone has never found this rest, never tasted of the goodness of Christ, that today, God, they would call upon you, they would go to you, and find this rest that our world cannot offer, absolutely has nothing to give us when it comes to this. Thank you for your word and the comfort of these words. I pray that we would be found faithful. And I thank you for this church. I thank you for this body of believers. I pray that they would go forth and live in this rest in this day and this week to follow, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.